The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D. I don't know if it's brought to you by Bar Canada. That's where we're broadcasting from. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Big day. Football, 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 college football. Dr. Bob from the analytics side. Dr. Bob had himself a good night last night with the Saints team total over. And, of course, James Madison, which he had. He'll have college football plays for us. Maybe an NFL play. We shall see. Chris Felica, the bear on college football. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on baseball. Ed Fang, interception props. JVT on college football. And futures in the NBA. All kinds of season-long NBA bets. And we don't want to leave out Paul Carr with Premier League picks. Kelly, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm
you good?
I'm doing just peachy, my friend.
Just peachy.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
You know, I'm super duper loud in my ears, but other than that, I'm great.
How's the computer doing?
I still don't have that. Just randomly roll it in all week. Hey, how you guys doing?
Can't find a replacement monitor for you, huh?
I don't know. This is an interesting thing. It's like a car dealership. They're going to find, you know, you have this other problem.
Right.
The carburetor's out in your computer. Okay, last night, both baseball, well, all day yesterday, doubleheader in baseball, and of course the football game last night. Let's talk about that, and let's talk about the baseball games today first real quick before we get to football. Yesterday, Arizona gets off the schneid against the Philadelphia Phillies. They beat the Phillies 2-1, overcoming a 1-0 deficit. Bryce Harper scored on a wild pitch in the seventh, but the Diamondbacks got back a run in the bottom of the seventh, and then end up winning it in the bottom of the ninth. 2-1 win. Philly still leads that best of seven NLCS 2-1. It is game four tonight. That is the second of the two games today. It is a bullpen game for the Diamondbacks, Kelly. Bullpen game. They're going to start Joe Mantiply. Probably going to use some combination of Ryan Nelson and Caccione and a whole bunch of other guys. But the D-backs, as a result of that, are a slight dog here, a slight dog here in game number four. Phillies are going to go with Christopher Sanchez. Sanchez is actually really good. Had a good stretch here between end of July, end of August. But he'll have a short leash as well. As soon as things go sideways for him, the Phillies will make a move there as well. Phillies are -132 favorites. I'll be on the Phillies. I'll be on the Astros again today. Astros with the huge win yesterday to knot up the best of seven American League Championship Series at 2-apiece after trailing this series 2-0. Boy, do they love playing in Texas. Do they love playing on the road? Astros went up in this game in the first inning, 3-0. Rangers clawed their way back to a 3-3 score. But then in the top of the fourth, bases loaded, nobody out for the Astros. They got a sac fly to go 4-3, and then a two-out, three-run Jimmy Jack from Jose Abreu that really put this one out of reach. That put them up 7-3. They end up winning 10-3 to knot up the series. Today it is Verlander against Montgomery, the final game at Globe Life Field. And just looking at the stats from, you know, the Astros' performance here at this ballpark. Well, first of all, Globe Life Field this year alone. Let's just take this year in the postseason. Astros now 8-1 on the season at Globe Life Field at Texas, 9.0 runs per game. That's nine exactly, a +41 run differential, and 26, count them, 26 home runs. And a team that is now 18-3 in its last 21 period in the postseason. Dusty Baker has no explanation for this, none whatsoever. Rangers, a very slight favorite in this one. I'll be on the Astros. As great as Jordan Montgomery has been, and Jordan Montgomery has been solid this postseason, he's had two games that have gone really well. A third in Baltimore, which I quite frankly had forgotten about, that didn't go quite as well. But the Rangers still won 11-8. That was game two at Baltimore. That one, he only went four innings, gave up four earned runs, nine hits, two Ks and one walk. But he had a seven innings of shutout ball in the wild card series at Tampa in game one. He had 6 1/3 innings of shutout ball the first game of this series as well. So Montgomery, in two of his three outings, has basically been mad bum, to use a postseason pillar as an example or as a comparison. But Justin Verlander, man, you look back at him now, not only in the postseason here this year in a couple outings, but if you extend back into the regular season in games against playoff teams like Arizona, like Baltimore, like Seattle, who just missed the postseason, and even back against these Texas Rangers in early September, legitimately his last seven starts, with the one exception being a game against Oakland of all teams where he didn't pitch well, but in six of those seven, he has had quality starts in all, and in five of those, given up two earned runs or less, four of those one earned run or less. So Verlander has been everything that the Astros could have possibly wanted here. I'm going Astros again, and again, my North Star, Kelly, with multiple bets. Astros to lose to the Phillies. Phillies to beat the Astros in the World Series, and it is right now. You know, right now, if you're looking at the numbers, that's still the short shot. It's back to being the short shot. D-backs plus 280 in this series to come back and win it. I would not bet that. Here's the thing with the Diamondbacks. That good on them, and they've been feisty all down the stretch of this regular season. They've been great in this postseason. They're going to have to score more than two runs to sustain anything with this. Phillies are just going to mash them today. I think the Diamondbacks will get their runs. If anything, you know, the over might be juicy on a total.
Oh, really?
If you want to play a total, I will not. I'll play the Phillies.
You know, it just caught my eye because you forget about it once you get into the playoffs. But the grand salami for today, 18.5.
18.5?
18.5, yeah.
Well, I don't know. The Rangers-Astros might be muted, so I don't know if I'd play the salami.
Quite a flip on that other series price. Astros, wait, real quick, I want to ask
Astros
you a question.
Become the minus 135 current series favorite now in the ALCS.
That game yesterday with Phillies-Diamondbacks, did they pull Fott too early?
I thought they did. They got away with it.
Yeah.
But
if they knew they were going to do a bullpen game today, right? Like, isn't that you're running more arms out there?
Yeah. Fott, who was not good this year, right? His ERA, even his advanced stats, were north of five, which is in the suckitude category. Yeah. His stuff was moving so amazingly yesterday. And he was pulled by Lovello probably a batter too soon, but they got away with it. And so to some extent, it's water under the bridge, but you're right. That much more of bullpen usage. So
also, I've heard one or two people bring this up, so I'm not going to feel that stupid. But when the hell did the sweeper become a pitch? When did that become like an official pitch that we're throwing up there on graphics?
The sweeper.
The sweeper, yeah.
He was awesome, man. He was awesome. And that just exactly what the Diamondbacks needed in that game. I just don't think they have the offense to keep up with the Phillies the rest of the way here. But this Rangers-Astros, Felica was just texting this before the show, too, and I agree with him. Because we also have bets, obviously, that are pertaining to this. More excited for the Rangers-Astros Game 5 today and what happens this weekend than maybe for any football, college or pro, all weekend long. That's through the prism of your bets.
More excited for, take your bet out of the equation, more excited for the rest of this. Is this series going to end up being better than the World Series?
I would not say that.
Okay.
I would not say that. I mean, the World Series, if it's, I mean, even Astros or Rangers versus the Phillies would be a phenomenal World Series.
Yeah.
One would think. We'll see. You know how this is going. And by the way, just that stat that I gave yesterday, 25-2-2 now. 25-2-2 this postseason. There's been a grand total of 29 postseason games. 25-2-2 based on who is leading at the end of the fourth inning. That's it. Two times a team has overcome a fourth inning deficit, and twice it was tied in the fourth inning. 25 other times the team that's up after the fourth inning has won the ball game. It's the most amazing stat of this entire postseason.
It really is.
Because we're not talking six, we're not talking seven, we're talking fourth.
And you're not talking, yeah, right, and you're not talking one team, you're not talking two teams, you're talking every team that's been in there.
And I said this yesterday, the only two times it's been overcome was that Braves comeback against the Phillies, the dramatic 5-4 win, the one time they won, and then one of the early wild card games between the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. The Brewers were up beyond the fourth inning, and the Diamondbacks came back and won it. All right, football last night, Jags beat the Saints 31-24. I'm going to ask you the question that I always ask you after this is, did we learn anything about either of these teams last night? For those who missed it, it really started when the Jags got a pick six from Foyatese Oluquan that put the Jags up 24-9, a little past the midway mark of the third quarter. And then the Jags sort of lollygagged it. The Saints, they converted a fourth and two. They converted a lot of fourths because they didn't convert a lot of thirds yesterday. In fact, they were 3 of 18 on third down, 0 of 10 on third beyond 5 yards, but they made up for it with 4 of 6 on fourth down. But they converted that. They ended up with a Taysom Hill touchdown, 24-16. Jags punted. New Orleans three and out. Jags then had a third and one, and then a fourth and inches and shotgun at the New Orleans 47. Etienne no gain. So, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter, New Orleans gets the ball back down one score. They matriculate. They get in the end zone. Carter Thomas from 17 out. Two-point conversion. It's 24-24. Jags punt. New Orleans gets the ball. 4:30 left at their own 10. Tie ball game. They go three and out. Jacksonville takes over. They end up with a Lawrence to Kirk pass where it's really mostly yak, where Kirk just sprints by everyone. 31-24 with 3:08 to go. Al Michaels had a little difficulty with that touchdown. I don't know why. And then New Orleans started at their own 25. They get it to first and goal at the 6 with 40 seconds left. Incomplete intended for Thomas. Incomplete intended for Hill. And then Foster Moreau just drops the right in his hands on third down. And then incomplete to Olave to end it. 31-24 Jacksonville. Both of these teams, in Jacksonville's case likely, but both of these teams could be division winners.
Yeah.
Is there anything about either of them where you're like, oh, I could see them doing damage in a postseason?
I'm still semi-high on the Jags, but man, that AFC.
How they let New Orleans back in that game, though?
Because they did what every stupid team does. They went so prevent, so early in like that third quarter. It was just all of a sudden the Saints offense was able to move the ball up and down the field because the cornerbacks are giving every wide receiver 10 yards of space. It was incredible.
And Derek Carr is exactly who we thought he was. We talked on Megapod. Drew said, like, Kirk Cousins is the best of the quarterbacks that can never win you a Super Bowl. I would say Derek Carr is the poster child of that group of quarterbacks. Thought that when he was here as well. We'll come back. JVT on college football and the NBA on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign them now and get a full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular season, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. When was the first time you heard someone refer to the confluence of all four major sports referred to as the equinox? What was that?
I don't know, man. A while back, but you know what? I can already think of the first time I ever heard someone say that. I thought to myself, you're trying to be too funny and too cute about it.
And here we are.
Just the timing.
Here we are promoting it. By the way, the last thing about that game last night, I don't want to like completely, I felt like I was dismissing the Jaguars. Gamer performance by Trevor Lawrence, who also led the Jaguars in rushing yesterday after all day long. We were just talking about how is he going to play? Is he not going to play? What's going to happen? He played well.
Yeah, that's a good Saints defense. You brought it up with the Christian Kirk one. There was that Kirk catch, and then a couple of those Lawrence runs where it's like the speed clearly surprised the Saints. Like took bad angles. Like
the Kirk one did. It's like he passed the whole team. good for the Jaguars. 31-24 win, and the Saints fall to 3-4 in that. Let's bring him in to talk both college football, get an update on his pro football model, and of course, a bevy of season-long basketball picks from the host of Hardwood Handicappers and also host of a couple college football shows on the weekend here at VSiN. Noon Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. First, a live show on Saturday, then an opening line show on college football on Sunday. It is the great, and I'm talking about our senior NBA analyst, the great Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. Don't forget, author of both the West Coast and Mountain West conferences and the upcoming college basketball guide, which people should check out as part of that Sports Equinox special.
There you go. I would not have forgotten that, but I'm glad you reminded me. Let me ask you first about football, because I know we got a bunch of basketball to get to. First, your favorite college football play of the weekend. Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's a couple. I mean, now there's still threes out there. So it looks like Tyler Van Dyke's going to play. Last week, a lot of people, Gil, thought the buy a low spot for Miami was coming off of that loss to Georgia Tech. I think it's this week against Clemson. You know, when you're catching three and a half at home against a Clemson team that ranks in the, I think they're 88th in offensive EPA overall, somewhere in that range. You're still a good defensive team. I think this is the spot to come in and buy low on the Miami Hurricanes. So they're going to be up there in terms of one of the best bets that are out there. And I laid nine with Alabama. Obviously, it's down to 8.5, a couple of spots. I think it's still worth playing. Joe Milton and this Tennessee offense have not been good from a passing perspective. And I love this Alabama defense. So those would be the top two. Alabama, lay the points there and take the three at the very least with Miami at home against Clemson.
Yeah, and you're right about how everybody seemed to be on Miami this past week, and that did not manifest. How's the Jonathan Von model going in the NFL?
It's still trucking along. So last week, 2-3 in best bets, 7-8 in overall edges for the season. We are 18-12 in the super contest. And we've got, I think we're about 50, I have to get the exact number. I think we're about 57-38-2, somewhere around there with overall edges. So it's still chucking along about, you know, a third of the way through the season. So we'll see if they can keep it up. So hopefully this week, a very big edge for the Buffalo Bills. That's going to be the biggest edge of the top five that we're going to use. Bills, Dolphins are in that. Bears, Giants. And the fifth one escapes me at this. Well, let's see. Did I say mention the Dolphins? I can't remember what the fifth one is, but those will be the four for sure. Bills, Dolphins, Giants, and Bears will be on the card this week.
Bills, Dolphins, Giants, Bears. 57-38-2. You should be playing every one of these edges. My goodness. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and 60% in the super contest. Nothing to sneeze at either. Yep. Good for you, man.
So, I like it. You know, it's as somebody who obviously did this for the first time and it's trucking along the way that it is, it does feel good to see that it's, you know, getting off to this start. And we'll see what the rest of the season brings because we're only a third of the way through the whole thing. And by the way, I just remember the Buccaneers are going to be the
Buccaneers. Here's the last question about that before we get to basketball. Has this exercise made it, has the topic sentence of this exercise been the less of me, the better? Is that the takeaway?
Oh, like I don't have to do anything, right? So it's all like based on the machine.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I don't mean you, Jonathan Von Tobel, but the less of us as human beings, the better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is kind of weird to be so it, even though I update it every week. I'm glad you asked that because like while I update the numbers every week, it does give me this sense of like disconnection with everything, right? Where it's just like it's kind of taken out of my hands. You put in the numbers and then it comes back and then that's what we're doing. So it's kind of like this weird disconnected process of doing it the whole time. So it's interesting. But yeah, the machines will take over at one point, I think.
All right. JVT and Kelly Bidlin do a basketball podcast called Hardwood Handicappers. John is our senior NBA analyst and you have a mess of season-long NBA bets. Let's start with some season win totals, beginning with the defending champion Denver Nuggets. What do you think?
Yeah, so I went under with the Denver Nuggets. You can bet them under 53.5 still. And, you know, a lot is they have the best starting five in the NBA. I don't think there's really any question about that. But the bench is the real question here. And I think ultimately when your depth matters so much more in the regular season. So when you look at the likes of Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown, DeAndre Jordan, who's going to be playing center, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nagy, like you're asking a lot and you're going to be developing a lot of young guys as the season goes along. And I just think that ultimately leads to a suffering record. I think once you get to the postseason, this team will be just as deadly, and I should still be a top three seed in the Western Conference. I don't expect them to fall to like sixth, but to sit there and ask them to win 54 or more games, given the makeup of their bench, Gil, and especially when you're talking about the makeup of the West around them, I think that ultimately leads to a downgraded record from last season. So under 53.5 was the top win total. It was the first one that I went out to go make once win totals were posted.
I love this because it's a slew of betting against human achievement, as we like to say here. So you're under on the Kings at 44.5. You're also under on the Raptors. Yeah. And the Bulls both at 36.5. Speak on whichever one of those you want.
Sure. And yeah, I feel somewhat negative with all of these, right? Because they're all unders. But I think for Sacramento, you know, there was a lot of signs that some regression is coming for this team. One of the things that when anybody asks about this win total, I keep going to, Gil, last year, the top eight players in terms of minutes per game for the Sacramento Kings all played at least 73 games. Like that's an immense amount of health, like luck that you're going to get that you're probably not going to be able to repeat. A winning record in clutch games, you know, games within 5 points, five or fewer minutes left to go, shooting 50% in clutch minutes, allowing you there. You had the clutch player of the year. These are all categories that you expect to regress or change from year to year and not that are easily replicable. So under on the Sacramento Kings and again, in a much better Western Conference. And the other one I'll focus on really quickly. This is purely speculation on what the Toronto Raptors are going to do. But I would assume that after watching Fred VanVleet walk for nothing, you have OG Anunoby, who's got a player option for next year that he's surely going to decline. You got Pascal Siakam was on an expiring deal. I think it's time to see the writing on the wall. Realize you're not really going much in many places with this current core. Get a ton of assets back for those two guys. I don't expect that those two dudes are going to be Raptors by the time we get past the trade deadline, thus betting under on the Toronto Raptors at 36 and a half wins.
I like a trade deadline consideration. All right, you're a believer in the Suns. You are betting them to be the first seed at plus 340.
Yes, I'm in. Like, I think from a regular season standpoint, this team has everything you want, right? You have elite offensive players. They are a team that is built around mid-range. They've done such a good job in terms of adding in the margins, the pieces that they need, right? One of the big questions we had was like, what's going on with this roster? How are you going to fill in the holes that you have? And they did, I think, brilliantly, not only in free agency and adding the pieces that they did, but then getting involved in the trade for Damian Lillard and getting back Yusuf Nurkic. Nasir Little had a really good game last night. I really like what this team has. And I think you do have a legitimate MVP candidate. You have Kevin Durant as well, but Devin Booker, I think, is going to be an MVP candidate. So I've got a lot of pro Sun stuff when it comes to the regular season. Betting them to be the first overall seed at plus 340. Betting Devin Booker to win MVP at 23 to 1, which is also out there and I think correlates. Because I think when you look at Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, they have much more of a shaky injury history than a guy like Booker does. Booker missed time last year, but he's got a sturdier bill of health throughout his career. So I think putting all of those things together, I think this team is built for the regular season. So I'm not going to be surprised if they win the one seed. You can also, if you want, over at DraftKings, bet over under seeding. So if you like go under 3 or 2.5, right? Top two seeds under 3.5. I think under 3.5 for the Phoenix Suns is somewhere around -115, -120, maybe even -130. If you want to do that, you can do it too. But I think this team's going to be good in the regular season.
All right, 30 seconds on the rest of these. We'll go rapid fire. Hawks to win the Southeast Division at plus 210. Is that more of a, I just don't think the Heat are going to win this, so by default it's the Hawks?
It's that, and it's they should have won it last year, so I refuse to quit on Atlanta now with Quinn Snyder to full offseason.
Good. I like that. This is a long shot play. I'm sure you're willing to admit that, but you were about the Cavs last year too, if I recall.
Yes.
You do have a future on them to win it all, huh?
Yeah, and I'll put it simply like this. You know, I keep saying this, Gil. Last year, not many people thought that Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope would make the difference in a finals championship, and it did. And I think for Cleveland, when you have George Niang and Max Strus to help out in the two most weak positions you had, add to your shooting, they're going to run more, they're going to shoot more. I like a lot of what Cleveland did, so I'll take the long shot.
I like a good NBA futures dump that we're having right now. This is the sexiest of them all. You ready for this? Rookie of the year, what you got?
So this is actually unavailable. I know this is just something I bet actually at the beginning of Summer League when Kelly and I were out there watching these games. Got Cam Whitmore at 100-1 to win Rookie of the Year. That guy's going to be – he was awesome in the Summer League. He's showing flashes of preseason. I think I'm excited to see what he has for Houston, who I think is a candidate to go over their win total.
All right, if fell in love with if, Cam Whitmore.
If it doesn't end up being Whitmore, who would you say for people to bet?
I think I'd probably roll with the Holmgren only because he's getting used to the rigors of the season, traveling with the team, you know, being at practices. I'd go with Holmgren.
JVT, enjoy the beginning of the season on Tuesday, man. Good luck this
weekend.
I will.
Good to talk to you guys.
Jonathan Montobel, everybody, at me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. We'll talk some college football with our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports. His best bets of the weekend and what he's got going on in baseball as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one. By the way, somebody tweeted in yesterday. Are we always debating that? But Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlon. Live here at Barkan at the D. By the way, that field goal footage of Matt Brown went over very well yesterday with everybody. Nice job.
Yeah, that was good stuff. That was good stuff. Dakota did a great job.
Yes, he did.
Shooting that, editing that, everything.
Wonderful. And we won the money. So
We
won the money. That's all that matters. This man wins the money lots of times during the week. He's Chris Felica. He's the Bear from Fox Sports and, of course, the Bear Bets podcast, both college football and pro versions. Chris Felica joins us now. How you doing, man?
I did not expect to be starting the interview with this, but you saying you win the money, it reminded me of growing up in New York. I'm sure there are people out there who remember it was like a New York Lotto commercial, and they like go around to like man on the street and talk about, and why do you play Lotto? And there's one woman's reaction. He's like, "You win the money." it just reminded me of that. By the way, I feel like I should be a guest on Long Shots right now. I'm sitting here at Muirfield Village. So I don't know if you can get Kelly and Matt to fire up the Long Shots pod, and we can do
it's called Long Shots.
Maybe talk about this thing with Phil Mickelson and a $400,000 bet on the U.S. team at Medina.
Hey, Chris, you're welcome anytime.
We don't really bring that up enough on this network, do we? You never hear about that.
I can't believe I haven't heard about it.
Oh, God. I think the exact quote, Chris, that you're looking for is he was playing the Ryder Cup at Medina, and he wanted to bet $400,000 on his team. I think that's the exact quote that you're looking for. Before we get your college football plays, are there legs to this Michigan thing? For anybody who's missed this, it's Michigan. Oh, he's already there's my reaction already. He's sighing out. But Kelly was mentioning, we talked about this off air. The headline says sign stealing. Everybody's brain goes to, oh, it's Houston Astros sign stealing. Everybody does it. It must not be that big a deal. No, they actually had people at other games in a scheme that's being alleged since 2021, taking other teams' future opponents' signs. Is this anything? Is this a thing?
I mean, it's not. So what? I mean, the signs are there. People are doing it. That's like a job almost. And I can remember being far different from college football or pro football with what the Patriots were alleged of doing as well. I remember sitting there trying to look at the opposing catcher and look at it and trying to see what pitch might be coming. This isn't you're recording it and you're running it back or you're secretly the signs are right there in the open. And that's part of the gig. If you can get in, look, this is a professional sport. I mean, don't make any bones about it. You're being paid a lot of money to win college football games and a national championship. Do whatever you can do to get an edge. I have no issue with it. As long as it's literally, we're going to go there and try and figure out a sequence and see what it is. Now, if it's something egregious as, we have someone in center field recording with a video camera and hear the pitch that's coming and you send in a signal that way, that's wrong. But if it's someone just trying to write down the sequence of the signs and figure out what play's coming, hey, all's fair in love and war, right?
Yeah, and it feels like the distinction is if they saw it on TV, it wouldn't be a problem, but because they were at the game, right, they sent someone to the game, then it's a problem kind of thing. Doesn't make much sense. All right, big noon Saturday, the game, Penn State, Ohio State, the Buckeyes favored by 4.5. Let's get your thoughts on that first.
I mean, like everybody, I played under 47 earlier in the week, and now it's come down quite a bit. Maybe an Ohio State team total under 25.5, I think is what I had seen. Might be a way to go as well. I don't know how healthy Abuka is, the wide receiver. I don't know how healthy Trevion Henderson is, or Mayan Williams for that matter. So this could be a very shorthanded Ohio State offense, or at least the guys who might be playing may not be near 100%. This Manny Diaz has a really good defense. They've got as many, I think it's 7 or 8 NFL prospects on that defense, draft picks on that team. They're really good defensively. And I think the way their offense kind of helps their defense out with, they don't have a ton of big plays on the offensive side of the ball. You can possess the ball for as long as you can, keep it out of Ohio State's hands. I think that will help them hang around the game. So if I had to play one thing in this game that right now that's still available, I'd be looking at that Ohio State team total under.
Ohio State team total under. If I asked you for your broad opinion on those three Big Ten teams we just discussed, Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, who's the best? Because we don't really have Michigan by far, huh?
Yeah, maybe not even close. Michigan, I think, is the most complete team on both sides of the ball in all positions, the way they complement each other on offense and defense, with or without whatever cheating is being alleged or sign stealing, whatever you want to call it.
That aside, Kelly.
It's interesting, though, however, this game might wind up being the least important game for Penn State, because there's a scenario where we get a three-way tie. Ohio State wins on Saturday. Penn State beats Michigan in State College. Then Michigan were to beat Ohio State in Ann Arbor. All three teams could be 11-1, and we could go down eventually the fifth or sixth tiebreak in the Big Ten, which is opponent winning percentage and cross division opponents. So right now that would favor Penn State. So this is not a all or nothing game for the Nittany Lions at all. That game against Michigan in a couple of weeks in State College, I think, is far more important for Penn State than tomorrow's is.
My brain already went to next year and beyond when none of these games are going to matter.
Thank goodness. You aren't excited about a Michigan-Iowa Big Ten championship game? That 45-3 game from a couple of years ago didn't do anything for you?
Yeah. All right. What do you like best this weekend?
Ugly dogs, I think, is the way to go. I think you're looking at a team like Illinois getting 2.5 at home against Wisconsin, with Tanner Mordecai out now for Wisconsin. The evolution to a spread offense is not going well for Wisconsin. Now you don't have your quarterback. You got a freshman in there. You know Brett Bielema would love to beat his former employer and kick him a little bit while he's down. So I took 2.5 with Illinois. I laid 11.5 with Nebraska against Northwestern. If Nebraska has done anything well this year, it shut bad offenses down. You held Minnesota to 13, Northern Illinois to 11, Louisiana Tech 14, Illinois 7. It may not be comfortable getting to 27-10 or so, but it feels kind of like a 27-10 type game. I took Minnesota plus 3.5 against Iowa. Again, this is just a weird number. And I get there aren't any fishy lines out there or trap lines like this, but you have a 6-1 Iowa team at home against a team that's 3-3 coming off of a 52-10 loss, gave up 37 points to Northwestern. And this number is only 3.5. Iowa has dominated the series. The number just doesn't make sense to me. I'm gonna hop on the boat with PJ Fleck and take Golden Gophers plus the 3.5.
And let me interrupt before you continue. You're not touching that total of 30.5 or 31.
No, it's too low for me. Even though the total last year was like 31, and it didn't come close to going.
Yeah.
So it's just a number where it would be tempting to go over, but I just can't touch it.
This is the one where it ends up. It ends up either way, right? If it ends up at 24 or if it ends up at 38, you're so mad at yourself either way. You're like, oh, I should have done that, you know.
As we say, like, you don't have to bet everything out there. That's the biggest advantage that we have. And then I took UCF plus 17.5 against Oklahoma. OU hasn't played since upsetting Texas and Dallas. But it seems like every year OU has one of those games where they struggle as a double-digit favorite. Three of the last 4 years, they've lost a game outright as a double-digit favorite. If you go back since 2018, 11 times they've won a game in which they've been a double-digit favorite by single digits. So it's not uncommon for OU to just kind of have that game where they just kind of maybe sleepwalk a little bit or struggle more than you'd expect. I don't expect UCF to go in there and win, but I do think there's enough on that UCF offense to potentially give Oklahoma some trouble. So I took the Knights plus 17.5.
All right. Since Kelly Bidlin is sitting to my right, what about the Fighting Kelly Bidlins of Florida State? 14.5 point favorites hosting 5-1 Duke.
I would play Florida State this week just because I don't know the full status of Riley Leonard, Duke's quarterback. It's been a couple of weeks now since he had that ankle injury against Notre Dame. I missed the last week. If he's hindered at all, there's no way he's going to be able to play the type of game that Duke needs him to play. He's a mobile guy, likes to use his legs as well as his arm. The offense completely goes through him. But if he is not able to go, or if he's hindered, that's a tough ask for Duke to go on the road to Doak Campbell and beat a Florida State team, by the way, right now, which is absolutely clicking on all cylinders. They completely annihilated Syracuse last week. And I almost get the sense like they've been hearing a little bit about, yeah, but their power ratings are lower compared to the other unbeatens, or the ACC is no good. What about North Carolina? It almost feels like Mike Norvell and that coaching staff kind of been listening to the real words that are out there and just saying, hey, maybe remember about us, the team that already beat LSU and beat Clemson this year as well.
All right. Chris Velika rooting for the Astros as well, correct?
Absolutely. Go Astros.
Let's go.
Highlight of the weekend for me. You need a win tonight.
Bear Bets Pod, college football on Thursdays, pro football on Fridays. Check it out at Chris Velika on Twitter. Thank you, Chris. Ed Fang, interception props next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a real treat. A gentleman who lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and who has just returned from his trip stealing signs for the University of Michigan football team. It's the Power Ranks, Ed Fang. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Is that true, by the way? I just made that up. I'm not sure if that's true. No? No? No trip for you?
You know, sometimes I take trips and I go watch other college football games.
Things happen.
Harbaugh's my neighbor.
That's right. If you pick up some stuff, you know, you just pick up some stuff. By the way, sweet Bundesliga shirt, by the way, sweet Bundesliga uniform. Very nice.
Yeah. Go Dortmund.
It's a kit.
Oh, it's a Dortmund kit. Dortmund kit.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay. As you pointed out, Dortmund, the runner-up, the bridesmaid to Bayern Munich for 5,000 years in a row in Bundesliga. Here's why we have you on. And by the way, thepowerrank.com, not just powerrank.com, but thepowerrank.com is the site, the analytics site that Ed founded so many years ago. He does the football analytics podcast for many, many years. You came on this show prior to the season starting, as you do from time to time. Sometimes we do NCAA March Madness stuff and how to do your pool most optimally. But we talked this offseason about interception props, but specifically, you know, the notion that turnovers in the NFL, fumbles we know to be non-predictive in terms of who recovers them. But you thought you might be able to wrap your arms around interceptions. Can you sort of give the background on that first?
Right. It was 2020 and I didn't know if I'd be doing anything that fall because football was in limbo. And so I got pretty deep into some research on interceptions. And the gist of it is that, you know, interceptions by themselves are not very predictive of future interceptions. But if you kind of expand the set of events that you look at, basically you look at every time a quarterback puts the ball in danger, you can do much better in predicting interceptions. The NFL play-by-play has this data in terms of passes defended. So these are plays in which a defender gets a hand on the ball, could be at the line of scrimmage. I'm actually more interested when a defensive back gets his hand on the ball. And so when you look at the sum of interceptions plus passes defended, I call these bad balls, and you look at that rate, that tends to be very predictive. I feel like we saw a perfect example last night with Derek Carr and the Saints. He had a third and longish from pretty deep in his territory. And instead of, he tried to force the ball down the field to try to get that first down, which is fine. That's kind of what you want to do. Defender gets his hands on the ball. Jacksonville intercepts the ball, returns it for a touchdown. Probably the difference in that game. But I thought that was a really good example, right? Because every time a defender gets a hand on the ball, it's not going to turn into a pick. But it does turn out about one-fifth of the time that a defender gets his hand on the ball, it ends up turning into a pick. So I thought that was a pretty good example, Derek Carr last night. And that's the extent of my analysis. And we talked about it a little bit this preseason.
Yeah.
I've been applying it to games. It's been going pretty well. And looking to continue.
Well, let's seize on that. It has been going well. So what have you been betting? Interception props over, like, what is the thing that you've been betting specifically? Under a half or over a half an interception, that kind of thing?
Okay. Exactly. So the market for interceptions, like the main market, is half an interception. So you're essentially betting whether a quarterback will throw an interception. I have a model that will give you a percentage. And, you know, just overall, you know, the interception rate over the last 3 years has been about 2.3%. If you take the average number of pass attempts, you get that you should expect an interception in about 55% of games just by NFL averages. And then what actually happens is that, you know, these quarterbacks that are about NFL average at throwing picks end up getting numbers like plus 130 for them to throw a pick. And when you go to my model, you're getting 53-54%, for example. I think a good example last week, I had this in my free newsletter at thepowerrank.com. Joe Burrow is actually pretty good at not throwing interceptions. He's about NFL average. But he tends to throw the ball a lot. I think the markets had him at like 37 pass attempts last week. The more times you throw the ball, the more likely you are to throw an interception. I think it was plus money on Burrow, and he did. And so that's typical of the type of bets that I'm making. These are all available to members on my site.
Have you made bets for this weekend?
I have released a couple. Would you like to hear a few?
We would like to hear a few. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I think did we freeze on Ed? Ed, are you still there?
Awesome. So, right, so one quarterback. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased. Jalen Hurts had an awful game last week against the Jets. He had three interceptions. His bad ball rate was even worse. And I really thought the last interception was completely inexcusable, kind of throwing in the double coverage actually cost the game. I really thought there would be no value in Hurts this week, but I was actually wrong. So I actually have Jalen Hurts over a half interception plus 105 against Miami. So he's getting closer to even money, which is where it should be. But my model actually says he's about 54.6% to throw a pick. So I do think that's pretty good against about a 48.7% break even probability. I think Hurts was incredible last year at not throwing picks. I believe we talked about that this preseason, Gil. And I feel like he's good. He is about NFL average. You know, he's kind of gotten better every year, although after last week, his numbers for the current season are actually worse than NFL average. But I don't want to make too much of 1 week. But in general, heading into the season, I expected Jalen Hurts to throw more picks than he did last year. That has been the case. The market has adjusted, but not quite enough. So I like Jalen Hurts plus 105 versus Miami.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more about that last pick. Never should have been throwing it in the first place. The Eagles, that's above Jalen Hurts at that point. But yes, a awful pass. What else did you end up on?
Yeah, so here's a lean. So Josh Allen was actually a quarterback coming into the season that I thought would throw fewer interceptions than projected. I actually have a season-long bet on him, which obviously didn't start out too well when he throws three picks in that game, that opener against the Jets. But he's actually pretty good at taking care of the ball. He's calmed down a little bit this season. I have Josh Allen under a half interception. So I have Josh Allen not to throw a pick. Josh Allen not to throw a pick at plus 110. My, you know, the model's basically giving this 50-50. So there's a little bit of value because the break-even probability is 47.6. I call this a lean because I look for a difference of about 5 percentage points when I actually suggest a bet with members on my site. So I'll put this in the lean category. I do like him to go under at New England. You know, there's also the chance that the game kind of gets away from New England. Buffalo's up late in the game. Obviously, the likelihood that you throw an interception late in the game when you're up is much less. You know, you're not taking risks. You're not pushing the ball down the field. And so one of the things I've discovered, and this was actually from watching Jalen Hurts. He hadn't thrown a lot of picks. I had a bet on him against Washington to throw a pick. He did not throw a pick. But in watching that game, you know, he was really forcing the ball down the field. He really likes to go deep to AJ Brown. And while his bad ball rate wasn't particularly bad in that game, I thought there were kind of multiple plays in which a defender ended up closer to the ball than AJ Brown. And so I actually went back and looked at interceptions based on air yards, right? So if a quarterback throws the ball 10 or more yards down the field, how often is he likely to throw a pick versus fewer than 10 yards? And obviously we know that, you know, you're more likely to throw a pick if you push the ball down the field. But what actually surprised me is you're almost four times more likely to throw a pick with 10 or more air yards. Not quite four times as many, but it's like 4.4% compared to like 1.2% or something like that. So this is something else that I look at. And I just bring that back to Josh Allen, right? Because he's not going to be throwing the ball down the field if he's up late against New England. Shade that a little bit towards the under.
All right.
My model doesn't cover, but yeah.
I mean, we're always looking to, bring up markets that, the average person may not be thinking about. Gilles Gallant from the Action Network pointed out that with plus money interception props this year, if you had just bet plus money side of each of these props for every quarterback, There's only been one losing week so far. This past week, you would have gone 10-2 with plus money situations. So anytime there's a plus available, I should say, you would have been over 10 units this past weekend alone. There was another week earlier in the year, week two, where you would have been near 7 units to the positive. Only been one losing week thus far if you're betting plus money interception props blindly. So Ed Feng might very well be onto something right there. Ed, great seeing you. Great talking to you, man.
Yo, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate your time.
Ed Feng, PhD, by the way. PhD. His brain is bigger than the both of ours combined.
That's right.
At the Power Rank on Twitter. We'll come back. Paul Carr on Premier League next.